Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever gone through something bad, and wondered, why would God allow this? The answer is yes, right? We all have. When something bad happens, whether it's a relationship that breaks up, a job you lose, your finances go into the toilet, your parents don't accept your faith in God, your friends make fun of you for your faith, or your kids don't want your faith. When something bad happens, we think it's bad, and we ask, why would God allow this? Today, I hope to give you a different way to think about trials. Last week, we started a new series called Different. We're studying through a book of the Bible called 1 Peter. We learned last week that it was written by Peter. Peter was one of the original followers of Jesus and became a significant leader in the early church. Peter was writing to Christians who lived in an area governed by Rome. These Christians were being persecuted. Some were being killed because of their faith. And Peter writes to them saying, hey, because you have Jesus, things are different. We live different. We have a different source of hope and joy, and we suffer different. When we go through trials, it's different for us. And today we're going to see why. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So, when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you may have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So, Peter is writing to Christians who we saw last week. Nero, the emperor of Rome, was having them hunted by dogs. He was setting them on fire and using them for candles for his gardens at night. And Peter says to them, hey, you should be truly glad. And you might think, maybe Peter had a little too much to drink before he wrote this. Or maybe Peter lived in Las Vegas and his neighbors were always going to the dispensary and Peter had a bit of a contact high when he wrote this. He couldn't mean this, right? Well, he did. And he's not the only person in the Bible who said it. There's another guy named James. He wrote in James chapter 1, verse 2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. So why? What could be joyful about suffering? Well, next week we're going to see another totally different reason to have joy in trials. But today we're going to learn that we can have joy in trials because of faith. Because trials reveal your faith and grow your faith. First, trials reveal your faith. Peter wrote, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. He talks about genuine faith. The reality is, there is faith that is not genuine. What might this false faith look like? It might be inherited faith. This is the person who had Christian parents, gone to church his entire life, would say, I'm a Christian, but not really sure he believes any of this or really cares. There's also shallow faith. Jesus talked about this. He talked about how faith is like a seed that takes root and then grows, but some people's faith just doesn't have a deep root system And so their faith will just kind of wither away. Jesus said it's typically caused by the worries of life or desire for wealth. It's the person who just doesn't come to church a lot and eventually doesn't come at all. They didn't decide not to. They just kind of drifted away. Why? Shallow faith. And then there's conditional faith, which is, I believe and I will believe as long as things go my way. If God holds up his end of the bargain, I'll hold up mine. But if he screws me, I'm out. One way we could talk about this is the difference between belief and conviction. Belief is an acceptance of truth. I recognize that's true. Conviction goes beyond that. Conviction is a willingness to demonstrate the recognition. In other words, it's actually living your faith. It's not just something I accept, it's something I am. Like, I'm willing to base my life on it. How do you know if you have a genuine faith? How do you know if you just have belief or if you have real conviction? Trials. Because if you have genuine faith, it will cause you to live different. Living different will cause trials. And then you'll find out. When people mock you, make fun of you, you find out. When there's pressure to act in a way that doesn't honor your faith, you find out. Trials reveal your faith. Someone has said, a belief is something you'll argue about, but a conviction is something you die for. Peter says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Peter knew about this because Peter's faith was tested. So the night Jesus was arrested and put on trial, which was the night before he was crucified, Peter was scared. He didn't want to be arrested or crucified. So he's hanging around near the courthouse and he's questioned three times, hey, aren't you one of Jesus' followers? Peter says, no. Peter has spent a lot of time talking about Jesus the last 3 years, how he would do anything for him, die for him. But now when it counts, he denies him. A belief is something you'll argue about, but a conviction is something you die for. Why can we have joy in trials? Because we need to know our faith. Peter says, your faith is far more precious than mere gold. 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe, so play up. Oh, look out. Your faith is so important. If it's just inherited, you need to know. If it's shallow, you need to know. If it's conditional, you need to know. So you should have joy in trials because trials reveal your faith. Without trials, your faith has not been tested. You don't know. We could say it this way. A faith that has not been tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Whereas a faith that has been tested is a faith that can be trusted. Trials reveal your faith. Second, and even better, trials grow your faith. Peter wrote to these people who were experiencing major persecution, all kinds of trials, you love God even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. So what's he saying? First, the trials you've gone through have revealed your faith. You know now your faith is genuine. You know that you really trust him, and really trusting God leads to the salvation of your souls. He's saying the good news is not that God saves us from our trials. The good news is that God saves us from our sins. God never promised to save you from your trials. Some people believe that. It's like, I'm on team Jesus, so none of the bad stuff should happen to me. Well, Jesus is the leader of team Jesus, and he never said that. He said you're going to struggle in this life just like everyone else. In fact, because you follow me, you'll probably go through more difficulty. He said in John 16, 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this life, you're going to have trials. Jesus is like, I'm not going to save you from your trials. You need trials, but take heart because I am going to save you from your sins. And that means this life is just preamble. It's just the front walkway. It's just preseason. And so you live with a confidence that this world is not all there is, that suffering is temporary and cannot be compared to the reward that's waiting. So we rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. But it's not just about heaven, it's about now. Because your faith is so important. It's more precious than gold, 24 karat magic. And trials grow your faith now. So listen, there is purpose in your pain. God never wastes a hurt. Remember James, who said in James 1, verse 2, he said, consider trials an opportunity for great joy. Why? James 1, 3, and 4. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Trials grow your faith. Peter experienced this. So he went through a trial. People asked, are you one of Jesus' followers? Me? No. Guess what happened as a result of that trial? He grew. He goes from bombastic to rock solid. He becomes the leader of the church. And later, when he's asked, are you one of Jesus' followers? He says, yes. He's given a chance to say no, to save his life, but he will not deny Jesus. And he willingly dies a martyr's death. There is purpose in your pain. God never wastes a hurt. Trials grow your faith. One of the things that happens when you go through a trial is you get a whole new view of who God is. Because God does not promise to save you from trials, but he does promise to go through them with you. And man, when you go through a trial, and instead of getting angry and turning away from God, you turn to him. You sense his presence like you never have before. And he gives you this peace that passes understanding. And he always brings something good out of the bad things we go through. He actually promised us that in Romans 8, 28. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things. God brings good out of all things, even out of bad things. Maybe especially out of the bad things. And if you've been hanging with Jesus very long, I bet you've experienced that. I've experienced it. Man, some of the best things that have happened to me have been the worst things. The trials I've gone through, which I have not always had joy about, I'm going to be honest. But those trials have grown my faith and grown my understanding of who God is and how he works in my life. And I am so grateful now for all those trials. And so what I've been learning is I should act as though. Act as though. When I go through crap, I never know why God's allowing it. But I should act as though I have a freaking clue why God is allowing me to hurt like this. Why? Because I have faith and I have experience with God. Every single trial I've gone through has tested my faith, and I needed those tests. Every trial I've gone through has grown my faith. I need that growth. God's brought good out of the bad. Now I look back and I'm like, oh, now I get it. Yeah, now I'm joyful. Well, if because of my faith and because of the experience I already have with God, I know that's going to happen, why don't I just act like it now? I will be joyful about the trial later. It makes sense to be joyful about the trial now. I should act as though I already know why this trial is a good thing, because I have faith that it is. I don't know why now, but I will, so I'll act as though I do now. There is purpose in my pain. God never wastes a hurt. I don't want to waste it either. I don't want to ignore what God's doing. I don't want to complain about what God's doing when he's actually doing something good in me. I'll end with this story. I heard this from a pastor, Levi Lusco. I got a couple ideas from him for this series. So this is a true story. There's this guy who went to a yard sale in Nashville, Tennessee. And he found a yellow rolled up piece of parchment. He thought, oh, someone made it look like it's old. That's kind of cool. And so he bought it. And then later at home, he unrolled it, and it was a replica of the Declaration of Independence. He thought, oh, that's fun. I'll put that up in my garage. He did. It stayed up there on the wall of his garage for 10 years. He was a pipe fitter, and he liked to fix bicycles, and so he would work out in his garage, and on the wall was the old fake replica Declaration of Independence. Then he got married. He and his wife had to put two houses of stuff into one house, and so they're going through their stuff. Should it stay or should it go? Does it spark joy? And she points to the Declaration of Independence, and he says, stays. She says, goes. Okay, if mama ain't happy, no one's happy. And so he donated it to a thrift store in downtown Nashville. Few days later, a man named Michael Sparks goes to that thrift store. I'm going to pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. He's going through the bin of used posters. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is worth unrolling. And he unrolls one because it looks old. It's kind of yellowed. Declaration of Independence? Oh, cool. How much? $2.20. Might as well, right? He buys it. He brings it home. A couple days later, a friend is over and sees it, and he says, "Yeah, that doesn't look fake to me." So Michael Sparks goes to an antique roadshow kind of thing to check it out. Turns out it's one of 200 copies of the Declaration of Independence that John Quincy Adams commissioned to be made in 1820 and spread out across the world. Michael Sparks sold it for over $400,000. That's a happy man right there. Well, of course, that made the news, and who should hear about it but Stan Caffey, the guy who had it in his garage for a decade, whose wife made him donate it to a thrift store. Can you imagine the conversation the two of them had that night? Woo! What's the point, Vince? That guy had no idea how valuable what he had was. And you have no idea how valuable your faith is. If you did, it's pretty much all you'd care about. It is so important, more precious than gold. If you knew how valuable it is, and that trials reveal your faith and grow your faith, you would rejoice in trials. Bring them on. Let's go. Come on, trials. Woo. We rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. So let's do that right now. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. God, this is kind of a scary thing, but in faith, God, if you have trials that we need to go through, bring them on. But because what we know is that our faith is like so valuable, we can't even estimate, priceless. And so if a trial is going to grow my faith, then God, I want trials and I want to rejoice in those trials. God, I know that you don't tell me you're going to save me from having to go through hard things, but you promise to go through those hard things with me. So God, thank you that when I have to go into the fire of a trial, I know that that's right where you'll be. You'll be there with me. God, thanks for loving me and walking with me through this life. Thank you for my faith. God, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.